Welcome to the Posh Mama Club, the Poshcast. Today's topic is glass ceilings and high heels and women dominating the male workspace. And if you know anything about that, that sounds, it can be kind of terrifying and also, I don't know, a lot of challenges, but also a lot of successes. So I've got Taylor and Gabriella, and one works in shipping logistics and the other was a firefighter. So we're going to really go into that and all the interesting things that happen behind the scenes, how they dominated their workspace. So let's start with Gabriella. Thank you for coming.
Of course.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you for having me.
And they're both moms, obviously, because they're on the show. So
yeah,
just dominating
moms,
that both.
Living that mom life now.
How did you get into that? Because, I mean, is that something you always wanted to do? You wanted to be a firefighter? Like, how does that?
So, honestly, no. I just have these crazy ideas sometimes.
Okay.
And sometimes I go with them and sometimes I don't go with them. And one day, this was pre-COVID, by the way.
Okay.
I went to EMT school, and when I started doing EMT stuff, I noticed that I was actually pretty good at this, and this is something I can see myself doing for a long term, but I didn't want to just be an EMT because there's levels to every job that you do. And EMT was the basic level of being a firefighter. You have to at least be an EMT to be a firefighter. So I started at EMT school, and I knew that I wanted to do fire school and then eventually paramedic school, but I was so...
Not to be ignorant, what's the difference of is EMT and paramedic school two different things?
Two different things.
Really? Okay,
yes.
I had no idea.
I didn't
right.
know
I didn't
A lot
know
of people
that.
Don't. I mean, you know...
So what's the difference
so
between
EMT
the two?
Is basic level life support. You know CPR and you
okay.
know how to bandage and stuff like that, but very, very basic. You cannot do anything like with a paramedic. When I got my paramedic license, I was pushing drugs. I had to know all my drugs based
wow.
on weight
okay.
and more like, you know, just more intensive things
wow,
with
I
like
didn't,
needles
I never knew
and all
that.
Yeah.
Either.
So basic, very level to be, even be a firefighter in the state of Florida, you have to have your EMT license. So
that's like round one.
Round one.
Basically.
Yes.
Okay. And then you can move up.
Honestly, where a lot of male firefighters kind of get tossed up is because they can't complete the EMT portion part of it. Because it is, you have to know CPR, you have to know this. And a lot of people just think, oh, put wet stuff on the red stuff. Like, it's not like that. And unfortunately, it's not like that. But very fortunately, okay. where we live, we don't fight many fires as it was before. It's more medical based now.
Okay.
So you have to at least know your basic medical
and there's
stuff.
A lot.
The next step I did before medic school was I went to fire school. And it kicked my butt.
Really?
And I won't lie. It was hard. But it's doable.
How many women were in your class at least?
Five.
Five out of?
30, maybe.
Okay.
In my class.
Do
two
they...
of us graduated, though.
Oh, wow. Two yeah. women.
Two women. Yeah.
Do you think that they make it or made it harder for you specifically? Did you feel like there was a little bit of... I don't know, what would you call it? Like, not like being picky, but like they do it in the military. Just
mm-hmm.
as a woman, they already don't think
demanding.
That you should be there.
So,
right? So
I went into it knowing that. I knew it was going to be something like that. And I knew that I just started seeing all these guys that I had previously went to school with. And I'm like, if they can do it, like I definitely can do it. So it's harder, I think. For a woman, especially because I was never into like bodybuilding or CrossFit, nothing like I'm a girly girl mm-hmm. through and through. It was definitely tougher for me in that aspect because I knew the amount of muscle I needed to put on to be able to perform these tasks in such a short amount of time.
Wow.
So that was very like, I was like, I don't know.
Did you have to live with the guys in the station and everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no segregation.
Not
like
in school.
Okay, but then.
There is some stations don't. Some stations will be like one big room with like a little wall dividing or whatever.
Right.
But these stations now are nice and you each get your own room.
Okay.
And you still share bathrooms and like living spaces and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But for the most part, you get your own room. But just back to what I was saying about there was only two women that graduated from my class. So it's very humbling. At the same time, it's not you can't do it. It's just you have to get through all of that kind of, you know, you can't do it. And they look at you a different way. And maybe it's different for me because I come from, I have three brothers. I come from a household of guys. I've always felt comfortable being around guys, and being a firefighter is a brotherhood through and through. Mm-hmm. So, but they really pushed me. I mean, there was times where we had to run a certain length in a short amount of time, and you couldn't go to the next, you know, you couldn't go to the next session if you didn't pass that. And I literally had one of my brothers put his hand on my back the whole time and push me through. Every time I was falling behind, just push me through to make sure I made it on time. So I just feel like that sense, having that kind of brotherhood, I guess you would say, it really does help, because I wouldn't have been able to even go to medic school or do what I did without them fully supporting me 100%. Mm-hmm. The whole time they were clapping me on, you know, they were with me through everything. So I was very fortunate in having the people that I did have, because I wouldn't have made it as far as if I didn't. And I know other places, they are very old school in the mm-hmm. way they do things. And, you know, you're a firefighter and blah, blah, blah. You get this stigma kind of towards you. But in the way things are doing, they want everyone included. And it's so nice because they just extend that, I don't know, they send that family kind of vibe to you, and it makes you feel like
was
you can do something. Yes, this
okay,
is
well, that's
Naples.
Great. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good to hear as well.
Yeah.
Because you would think maybe it would have been old school.
And there that's are great. Still guys that are that old school kind of vibe, and you just got to, look, if I did the same school you did, why are you looking at me differently?
Exactly.
You
know,
I lift just as much as you lift.
That's
so,
and you wore
go.
That whole, the get up, and how much does it weigh, the whole thing? I know it's like super heavy.
It is. It's about 75 pounds. Oh my
goodness. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, I gained 65 when I was pregnant. So I'm like, yeah. And I knew how that felt. So I'm like, yeah. To actually carry 75.
Running upstairs.
In the heat.
Obviously, and I went to school in the summer, and it's all obviously outside. So it was definitely a life-changing event for me. There were so many times I would come home and I'd just be so defeated, and I'd cry to my husband. I'd be like, I just need more muscle. I don't know how, uh-huh. like, I just need, yeah. I can't. But you get there eventually.
Would you want your daughter to do it if she wanted to be following your footsteps?
If she wanted to, yes. But I'm just kind of in that mindset now, because before I did all this, it was so pushed, like, go to school, do this, do that, do the right thing, blah, blah, blah. I want her to do whatever she wants to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to waste her time like I did before doing this, because mm-hmm. I went to fire school at 28 years old.
Oh, wow. That's so cool, though.
Like, and gosh, everyone was so much younger than me, and obviously in better shape than I was and all this stuff. So I wish I would have came out of high school knowing that that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't. You still get it done, but,
it's fine. Yeah,
you know, you if she it. Wants to do it, I 1,000% would back her up on it. But I would like a softer life for her, I think, you know, and me and my husband said, like, oh, we don't want things to change. We're still cool people. We want things to be, we still want to go out. We still want to do
so
that.
Funny.
It is. It's
in
a
theory,
it's
all
great. It really
notion,
is. Right?
Great.
It is. And then you get
happens,
that wake up call
like,
where, yeah,
oh.
I have to change. There's no way I can keep doing what I'm doing.
But do you think his life has changed? You don't have to say it if you don't need to, but I feel like it changes a lot for
his
the women.
His life has changed about 20%, I'd say.
And yours?
1,000%. Yeah. I'm not the same person I was last year.
Which is great in a good way.
It's all about growth, right?
It is. But it's also really like startling, like the amount of change you need to make in order to be a decent mother.
Right.
Right. And like the pressure that society puts on you as well. It's like, and you can't really depend on him full. They go at 20 and then you're like, okay, mm-hmm. who's going to do the rest? You know, so
you have to step up. Yeah. You have to. Yeah. And it was a sacrifice. I had to sacrifice my job and things like that. But do I miss my old life? Of course I do. It's just the reality of life. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I say like, oh, I don't want things to change. And then I look at my daughter and I'm like, no, I things have to change. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
that's so beautiful.
Yeah, there's no other way around it. Like that, I have to be. Fortunately, I'm there. I'm able to be there for her 100%. So, I just think it's a lot of give and take. But I'm happy with every decision that I've made so far.
I think you're doing amazing.
Thank you.
Like honestly, like I can like you just you know like it's it takes it's you grow up. You become mature. I can't explain it. It's like I thought I was. I wasn't. I'm like, what the hell was I doing with my life before?
Right.
Like, you're just like lollygagging and doing really stupid decisions where I'm like, how did I live through that? You know, like, I'm like, doing really dumb stuff.
Oh, you've changed. Well, yeah.
Good. Thank you.
I have changed. Like,
yeah, but some people, I think, mean it maybe in a derogatory sense. Right. Like, you're not the same. Like,
no,
of course not.
Like, can you imagine if I was the same that person would be, 5 years later? What is, you know?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't work.
I changed and I'm happy that I've changed. I needed to change. I'm not the same. If you've met me 5 years ago, you don't know me now.
Good. And you don't need, maybe you've outgrown those people as well, as I've said. Mm-hmm. So I think there's different things and different aspects of your life that happen or whatever. And you've outgrown people, unfortunately, and some people stay behind. And
I'm just happy with when you become a mom, it's like you kind of lose that sense of like, well, half my friends have like older kids and half my friends don't have kids. And that's what's so great about this group is that we're all a bunch of like-minded people and we want the best for each other. And we've all gone through that glow up basically of where you need to be and what you need to do to succeed and how you want to be as a person and how you want to present yourself. And I feel like I've just met so many women here that have just been like a huge cheerleader. Like, oh, you got this. Like, we're not against each other. We're for each other. And it's different when you're for each other because I don't want what you have and you don't want what I have. We're different.
We're just going to grow different ways, but we both want to grow together. But
exactly.
I think there's unfortunate competition that also occurs. And again, I've tried to kink that out, like, out of the club because it does happen. But it's like we already have enough stress in our lives.
Right.
Please don't add to it. Right. Like, this we're is all not just the time trying to make it, right? Yeah. And make sure that our kids are safe and healthy and doing well in school. Like, please don't add, like, hype meanings, friendships, and issues that I don't need in my life. You know, it's – so, no, you're doing really good.
Thank you.
But to Chef, too, I have – hey, Taylor.
Hello.
You're just
– I am fascinated by hearing Gabby's story.
Yeah, that was – it is remarkable. And it's funny because how long have you lived here?
My life.
You've lived here your life.
Almost my whole life.
You guys have never seen each other?
Never. Yeah.
We knew each other previously.
Oh, how cool. I was like, that's really weird. Yeah. It's kind of a small town.
No, it is a small town. We definitely know each other.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. And then you do shipping logistics, which, I mean, that's like freights, 18-wheelers, crates, overseas, all that crazy stuff we see on Instagram with shipping containers. You're involved with that.
Exactly.
So tell us about it, how you fit in. That's 100% male dominated.
Yes, it is. And it ultimately, the position I'm in, my job title is major account executive. So it's ultimately a sales role.
Oh, wow.
I work for a company called Worldwide Express based out of Dallas, Texas. And I have the opportunity to work remotely and be a stay-at-home working mom for my 2-year-old son, which is phenomenal.
That is incredible. Very, that was very, pre-COVID very or was always?
Post-COVID. Yep.
And it just stayed?
About 2.5 years.
Great.
I kind of fell into this position. It wasn't something I went to school for. It wasn't something I ever trained for or ever thought I would be in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I made the joke earlier that I tell my friends and family, I'm in shipping logistics. They're like, what does that mean? I still don't understand your job. And ultimately, my goal is to set up businesses with, one, a great platform to coordinate everything off of, or put them in contact with a support team, support operations team.
If they don't have you, what do they use for shipping? Like, how does that?
So we are a non-asset-based company. So for small parcel, so really anything under, let's say about 50 pounds, if you ship makeup is your brand,
like
a
huge conglomerate, I assume, not like a small makeup brand, like a big distributing. Correct. Different Sephora's, different Ultas.
We work with all kinds of like small to medium sized businesses, but we work with anywhere as large as companies like Hallmark. We do some of their truckload shipments, but for small parcel, we're exclusively partnered with UPS.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of there's all kinds of, it's like a spider web, right? There's all kind of fingers.
I can't even
strings off of how big the company can be. And there's you know, the small parcel. We're partnered with UPS directly.
Yeah, that's
we
what
work
I was
with many. Less than truck LTL, less than truckload means you. So let's say you have a business, Gabby has a business, and I have a business.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we kind of coordinate all of our products to go on the same truck.
Oh, how fun!
So if we're shipping something from Florida
it's
to California,
more affordable, no?
We're the three. Yes, exactly. We're the three Florida businesses that are making a similar route or a same route, and again, it like lowers the cost. And you, if you don't take up a full truck, why pay for the full truck? So that's
really interesting.
Yeah, we partner.
You guys
with,
do liquor?
Multiple.
Sorry, I'm asking for something
do.
Else.
Yes,
actually. Okay.
We do.
I was like, oh, I'm going to put that in the back of my mind.
Yes, we do.
Okay, cool. That's neat.
And then if you're a large enough company, we do truckload shipments as well. Huh. So anything from coordinating containers coming in from
who do you speak to?
China's,
men.
I speak to a lot of men. A lot of CEOs of companies. So where I've found my most success is in products that I use, like brands I know and love, so to speak. So if something will arrive to my house, I ordered it online, came via FedEx or, you know, the post office,
call them?
I'll call them and say, hey, I use your product. It just came through from FedEx. I work exclusively with UPS. I'd love to get you, you know, maybe some better pricing or some more support.
Wow.
So if you have
you never
packages,
that is intelligent.
Things like that. So.
What's crazy is you like anything that you have, anything we're holding got shipped here, right? Like
yes.
No one thinks about how it got here.
Right,
just happy
exactly.
It got here.
I barely even go to the store anymore.
Yes.
That's
everything.
It came
is
from somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's even the hair on my head. Like, where'd that come from? Like,
exactly.
I don't know. I don't want to know. There's a lot of like, where did it take someone, some logistics
it does.
Behind the scenes?
And you don't think about it. I mean, you.
And it arrives
like,
on time. I mean, there's storms, there's natural disasters. They have to like, ooh, can't even imagine.
Exactly. So luckily,
do you deal
I'm
with
solely,
that as well? If there's a natural disaster?
Partially. So I am mostly on the sales side. So ultimately converting the end user and connecting them with my support teams, so to speak. So there's account managers on the account and they kind of help, again, manage the account. I know that sounds simple, but they, you know, they make sure that they let the businesses know when these carriers are closing for a holiday, so to speak. They kind of maintain a lot of the conversation. I'm a lot of the initial conversation. Mm-hmm. And again, kind of, I mean, not just in my business, but the world of sales is kind of difficult as a woman because you're...
do they stop listening or what? Why?
You know, not that they...
Women,
it depends. So again, where I found my most success is like, hey, I'm a customer of yours and I'm trying to help you out. So that has led me to be the third in my district for my company right now. And again, like I'm ultimately a stay-at-home working mom. So
women are the biggest sales. I don't want to say get, but the reason men work so hard and drive nice cars and put on watches and it's for women.
It's for women, absolutely.
We are the biggest salesperson. Like I can't understand. Like it's if you want something done, make it through the girl. Like the woman is the one that really makes the man kind of shift their focus. Like it's so 1,000%. Funny that they wouldn't listen to you.
Right.
And the why is it the CEOs are all men? Like that's still like
that's
how sad is that? Everyone's like, oh, women have it
too.
Good. Like, no, we don't. We're still really behind.
Right.
Like
because we're sacrificing while they
thank you.
We're
that is exactly the
while they, you know, go.
Absolutely.
So the thing is men do things to impress women. Women do things to impress other women.
That's very true.
I believe it 100%.
We don't do,
I believe it.
When's the last time I did something for a man? No.
We had a baby.
You
had a baby.
That was, 1,000%.
But it was kind of out of your control too, you know, like it just,
That's another story.
Wait, that's another podcast.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's hilarious. But do you feel, is there other sales women or there's also salesmen that you go against?
There's both. Okay. I would say it's still male dominated. But the top girl in our, the top salesperson in
is
our company. No, it's not me, unfortunately. I'm third in our
You're
district.
You're up
there.
Still
really
the
great.
Top one in the country from, you know, California to Maine is a female out of Boca Raton.
Huge.
Good for her. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
She's crushing it. She's making an incredible killing. She has made a name for herself and then some with the company.
Wow,
she's
that's great.
Only been with the company, I think, about 7-ish
God,
years.
Sales
so not
me.
Even that long.
Like actual, like
she's,
calling.
She's doing
and
an amazing job.
That takes... Just
the cold calling
yes.
is what gets me. I feel like I can sell, but I just I hate the thought of having
to call someone
someone who has no idea that you're even calling them and to sell them on something that they might not even want or maybe interested.
And what do? You just brush it off?
So ultimately, my quote unquote pitch is to take the sales out of it and like put a relationship into it. It's like, hey, I'm here to help you. Like if you're not looking for the help, okay, fine. I'll find another good lead or I'll call your director of operations rather and then go back to you or you know call somebody
so
else
like, wait okay
is and
that
you just have to figure out like different ways to go around
when you go to sales conferences like do they you know do you feel different? Is it, it's all men, I assume, no?
You know, mostly? I think a lot of my, so I was in the restaurant industry for so many years, and that was so male dominated.
Oh, is that how you guys?
When I think of you, I still think of the beach club.
Yeah.
What beach? Yeah. Oh, Naples Beach Club?
Yeah.
The one they demolished?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I
love that place.
I don't want to say I've been all around town, but like I have been in restaurants or working in restaurants all around town. So, but I think being in the restaurant business gave me really thick skin. And then also being a mom gave me thicker skin, a wife and a mom. And everything I do for my family. And I have, you know, coming from a really insecure place when I was, let's call it like 16 to 23, it was like, man, what, you know, what am I doing? I feel like I have to impress everybody, or I feel like I have to be everybody's friend. And then I met my husband and had my son, and it's like,
this is all that really matters. This is my priority.
Yes, this is my priority. And, you know, I'm doing this to make a living, to, you know, help my family in whatever ways that I can.
That's beautiful.
Not that my husband doesn't, my husband does an incredible job with that. And I'm, you know, so grateful for him and everything that he does to bring into the family.
I love that you get to work from home as well. I mean, it's not easy.
Exactly.
People hear that, they're like, oh, that's so easy. No, it's not.
It's a bit harder,
actually. Try to get a call and he's like, you know, needs something. And there's, and he wants, you know, all your attention at all times. Mom's home.
And he's not, you know, he's 9'10", he's 2".
He's,
it's, you know, I could tell a 10-year-old maybe, you know, honey, go play, you know, outside.
He wants to be held, he needs a snack.
But that also makes my sales calls a little bit more real. They're like, man, this really is a, you know, this is a mom that's just trying to do her best.
That's
and
great.
I think I get more grace, I guess, from people on the receiving end of my phone calls.
That's great.
At first, I was really intimidated by cold calling people. And
yeah, it
I'm
scares
like, you know
me.
What?
You tell me to do that now,
I'll just
like,
never
freak
see
out.
These people. Like, what that's if great. I'm doing something for my family? Like, why am I going to let that hinder me at all from making these calls? And
what did you think you were going to do out of college? What you thought when you were getting your diploma and you're like, I'm going to be? Like, what was it?
So I mean, my college years were kind of like all over the place, truthfully. I transferred schools. I took forever to like finally get to the finish line and everything. I wanted to ultimately, like looking back, I would have gone to medical school.
Okay. Wow.
I wanted to go actually either in the pharmaceutical world or to medical school. I find chemistry and all of that's anatomy fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
I studied it all. Realized I was making more money working at the time in college managing restaurants than I would in multiple years through medical school. Granted, a restaurant manager salary was not comparable to a medical doctor salary. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was like, this is like almost addicting, right? Because I was like a workaholic to a fault, again, before I met my husband, before I had this, you know, settled down life, so to speak. So I was always working and even like selling private dining spaces and things like that. I was just, kind of been a salesperson. And I just enjoy talking to people. So the restaurant industry, you talk to people all the time.
So did you think you were just going to do, you're going to be in the restaurant industry?
Yeah, for the longest time until I met my husband. I was like, you know, I'm going to, you know, work at a Michelin star restaurant, or I'm going to be the sommelier of, you know, a New York City, again, like New York City Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, amazing.
That sounds dumb.
I would have visited you. I'd be like, that sounds amazing. But life would
have
been very different.
Life was so different. And again, like when I met my husband, he worked office hours. He's an attorney. And then I worked nights. So we were on totally opposite schedules.
Wow.
I was like, man, if I want to spend time with this man and get to
know
him
better
and ultimately have a family, I can't be working these hours. So it was actually until I was about 20 weeks pregnant with my son that I totally got out of I was in wine retail sales at the time. So I was like, you know what? I can't be carrying these 40-pound cases of wine while I have while I'm 20 weeks pregnant.
That's also very male-dominated as well, though.
Yes, very, very much so.
You do well in those environments.
So I take it as a challenge, and I've always loved
it. Do you have brothers?
And
did you grow up around men? Okay, I'm wondering if you grew up. You're just tough.
I think, again, I think like the restaurant industry was really molding in who I am as a person and just kind of not taking.
That's cool.
I mean, you look at the young girls in restaurants, they just take, you know, getting hit on by the men, whether they're, you know, or getting
anywhere.
A preferred schedule or not a preferred schedule by male managers, whether the male managers like them or not, or, you know, again, getting hit on by the male guests and just like having to be like, that's, you know, that's nothing. And just kind of brushing it off. Mm-hmm. So I think that is where.
Gosh, to know how much harassment still exists. And everyone's like,
me too. I'm like, we're so not there yet.
It is,
like,
yeah.
It is. I think it's, people are more afraid to act out, but it's still like very much happening,
it's,
you know?
It's very, very much prevalent. Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, some, it, certainly in Naples, I think there's a lot of, I, again, like nearly born and raised in this city and I love it more than anything in this world, but a lot of people with, you know, money or a certain age that they feel entitled to make comments towards women. And I see it often. I see it, you know, if I'm at, as a guest at a restaurant at a table next to me, it's like, man, that's just, it seems so,
poor manners,
you know,
just because they have money doesn't mean they have manners
at that point.
It's unfortunate
to continue to do.
Unfortunately.
What did you think you were going to do? Like, what was like your dream job? What were you going
to
do?
Oh, I wanted to be a chef.
You too. That's so, you both were restaurant.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So until I started, I was working in the restaurant part time up until right before I had my daughter. Right before my wedding, I stopped working. I was bartending for a long time.
Oh, so you saw a lot and you've dealt with a lot and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun when when you know how to manage it. And I worked at a place where it didn't close until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
So. I was even
so. That's even
better.
You know. That's why you were like, I made a huge change. You did.
Yeah.
I think we're better restaurant guests than we are restaurant employees.
And unfortunately, I feel like you have to kind of get yourself. You don't know what they go through. Like, I just feel like everyone should have to like work in a restaurant or
I
do some sort of something,
percent.
Because even sometimes the way my parents speak, I'm like, say thank you, do this, do that, and they just like don't. I don't know. They don't get it because they never had to be in that.
The server.
Or the service industry. Like, that's what I'm saying. And it's just like those little things go such a long way.
Especially in Naples where that's like our whole tourism is, you know, eating and eating and eating and eating. And the people are so rude. And
they're
like,
so rude.
You love Naples. So you might want to be nicer. These people are traveling from very far because they can no longer afford living here. You know, like it's. Like, be nice that they travel this far to serve you a decent meal. You know,
I agree.
It's kind of sickening, but that's, again, for another podcast. Mm-hmm. So
many to come.
Ladies, thank you so much for coming. Do you have any advice for any women that are in perhaps a male-dominated, you know, industry and they're dealing with, I don't know, maybe being run down or they're exhausted or, you know, like what, any tips or how to succeed or...
I would just say if they can do it, you can do it too. Okay. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Look,
I love
look
that.
At the guy next to you. If he can do it, you can definitely do it.
So, I love it.
Women are strong and powerful, and they're doing it for themselves. I mean, whether they have a family, they don't have a family, they have a spouse. Do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, and like I said, through her training and everything.
I love that.
Just to say that you did it. You did it for you.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank
I appreciate
you for having us.
Thank you guys for coming, and it's a wrap. And again, thank you to our sponsor, Base Boundary. They have
thank
a location
you.
In Coconut Point and Naples. Thank you, Terry. We love you.
Thank